Gosh, understood.
All right, let's get started. I'm gonna sit for just a few minutes, I'm gonna do a little introduction. I'm intrigued by something. We'll get started on this topic of prayer. If you were at home right now on a Friday night, what would you be doing at 10:34?
Snoring.
How many would be asleep? All right.
I'm starting to.
All right. Anybody else doing anything other than that?
Actually, I was fibbing. I can't go to bed before 1 o'clock at home. Usually, I lay down at 10 and I'm awake till about 1.
Okay.
Yep. Sorry to hear that.
But I get up very early too. I don't right now in my life. I need a lot of.
You're a good husband there.
But I find I'm talking a lot to God.
That's good.
You have to do that. You're wondering why can't I sleep? So instead of worrying about not sleeping, I find that when I pray, I feel like I get all the sleep I need.
Cool. Well, you're much more a spiritual giant than I am. I'd be taking medicine for that. All right. Teddy, we ready? This has been my trusted room host right here. He's taking care of me. I appreciate his ministry and help tonight. I thank you for being here. I'm Randy Davis, and I'll get off the seat here in just a minute. It's all right. I am from the great state of Oklahoma.
Yeehaw.
And I've been a part of my church that I serve at up there, Quell Springs Baptist Church. Been there 10.5 years. God answered our prayer when we got there because our boys were 8th grade, 6th grade, and 4th grade. And we had moved some. And our prayer was, God, let us stay here long enough where our boys can graduate high school and all be together with their friends. And God has allowed that and even more, so we're grateful. I appreciate you being here, and I know we're on the last hour, and I appreciate your presence, and I really appreciate, I'm going to assume something here, your love for prayer, okay? And I have a love and a passion for prayer as well. So, let me pray for us, and then we'll get started. Father, we're grateful for your presence among us. We know, Father, that you're here. We thank you for the good work that you do in our lives. We're humbled. We're grateful. And Father, I thank you for this this group of people that are before me. Lord, I pray they'll realize that that I'm nothing. I'm a nobody. But you saved me. You recreated me, and you recreated us to be your children, so we're grateful. Lord, thank you for the privilege of prayer, for communicating to you and with you. Thank you that it's not just a one-way street, but Father, it's two-way, that you communicate with us through the Word, through Scripture, through friends, through the church, through the Holy Spirit, so we're grateful for that relationship that you have with us. Father, I pray you'll guide our time now. Use me, Father, to speak truth into your Word. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
All right, let's jump into this. Hang in here with me, okay? We're on the home stretch. I have been honored to be here, I think, 4 or 5 times. I think it's been 5. I've known Ben Pritchett for a long time. He and I served together at a previous church. I love him dearly. Don't hold it against me that I know Don Mutton. If you know Don, he's a dear friend of mine.
Sorry, I've got to go.
Yeah, I understand. You wouldn't be the first that did that when I mentioned Don Mutton. But Don and I are great friends and appreciate his love for the Lord and love for his church and love for his people. But I'm blessed to be here. I'm honored. I really am. I told Ben, you know, you don't have to keep inviting me back, but I'm honored. I really am. If you read my bio, it says that I am the Forrest Gump of pastors. Meaning, if God can use Randy Davis, he can use anybody. And I really mean that. when I didn't know what I was signing up for at 16 years old, but it's been a great journey. I'm 55 years young. You heard 55 is a new 45, right? So that's me. But it's been a great journey, and I look forward to greater days ahead. Let's talk about prayerfully powerful, connecting our private life to your life Bible study groups. So I'm going to assume something here. I'm going to assume, one, that you have a passion and a desire to pray, right? Maybe? Am I right?
Yes,
or you want to learn more about that. So either way, we're still winners, right?
Okay.
Now, I'm not, well, let me say that. We're a remnant. You see that? We're a remnant. I wish the body of Christ, and everyone prays, I know that. But I wish more people would pray and get a hold of God and let God get a hold of us. But regardless of the size, I don't care. I've never been concerned with numbers. You know, people used to, you know, say, wow, brother, how many do you run your ministry? It doesn't matter. You know, Jesus was successful, right, with 12? Okay? So it doesn't matter about numbers. So I'm grateful that you're here. The other assumption is that I'm going to assume that you have a private prayer life as well, right? So I applaud you. I want to be a Barnabas to you and encourage you and thank you for that. But also what I want to do tonight is I want to scratch where you itch. There's nothing worse on my body that has an itch that I can't get to and scratch it, right? And so sometimes my wife helps me, sometimes a good old doorpost, door frame just does the right job. It just gets in there and gets after it, okay? So as we process through this, I want to make sure I scratch you where you itch. Let's look at Acts chapter 4. If you've got a copy of God's Word, whether it's in print or on your phone, let's look at this interesting passage in Acts chapter 4, beginning in verse 23. And you know in Acts 4, we have the story of Peter and John before the Sanhedrin. And we pick this up in verse 23. Well, let's jump to 18 real quick. The Sanhedrin, they called them in again and commanded them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John replied, which you know this is, you've heard this before, which is right in God's eyes, to listen to you or to him? You be the judges. As for us, we cannot help speaking about what we've seen and heard. You love the boldness there of Peter and John? They gave him further threats and let him go. Now we pick up verse 23. Everybody there? All right. On their release, Peter and John went back to their own people. I like that. Do you like that? What does that tell you about who they go back to? They went back to their life Bible study group. We could say that. They went back to their family, their church family. They went back to their friends, their Christian friends. They went back to people who they were doing life with. Okay? So I trust and pray that you have people that you can go back to. Right? Do you have people that you go back to?
Yes, sir.
You have people that you can call pretty much 24/7, text them, email them, Facebook, Twitter. I mean, goodness, we've got all kinds of connections, right? That you have people you can go back to. So if not, build that network. So they went back to their people and reported all that the chief priest and the elders had said to them. So everything that we could read previously, they reported to them. They gave a report. They were concerned. Have you ever been through life, experienced difficulties like Peter and John had before the Sanhedrin, before a group of people, and you went back, you reported to them, your friends? I pray you have that network. Verse 24, when they heard this, who heard this? Their life Bible study group, putting kind of reality here, or their church. When they heard this, they raised their voices together in prayer to God. Okay? Not in the notes, but let me point this out. And I did this last year. I did a similar talk to a group of people at the Midnight Madness. I had the unusual experience, and if you ever go to New York, if you ever go to Brooklyn, I would encourage you to go to Brooklyn Tabernacle Church. Anybody ever been to Brooklyn Tabernacle Church?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
No
way.
If you want to experience a little bit about Brooklyn Tabernacle Church, you know, you can go on YouTube, you can pull things down, just put in Brooklyn Tab. Jim Simba is the pastor. I went, because I read most of his books, Fresh Wind, Fresh Fire, talks about how God used him. But I got to go experience his Tuesday night Bible study, or his Tuesday night prayer group, prayer ministry. Can I just say wow?
Yes.
It was awesome.
Wow.
And that was the first time that this scripture right here, when they heard this, they raised their voices together in prayer to God. You know how sometimes we Baptists are. When we ask for prayer, which I just prayed, I prayed out loud. I prayed. When they pray, they raise their voices together in prayer to God. Do you really believe God can hear all of us when we pray at once?
Sure.
Sure he does. Do you know what that did for me my first time that I went? Now, the prayer meeting starts at 7 o'clock, but if you're not there at 5 o'clock, you will have a hard time finding a seat. Think about that. Tuesday night, the place is packed. People praying all over that facility. Pastor Jim leads us in specialized prayer, specific prayer, and the people get in groups of two or three, and would be like, these four people with me, we're all praying for Pastor Gray all at once. And it is encouraging to hear that going on. They raise their voices together in prayer to God. Wow. And then you got about 3,000 people in this worship center doing that. The power of prayer. It's amazing. Now, what else happened? They raise their voices to God in prayer. And they said, Sovereign Lord, they said, you made the heavens and the earth and the sea and everything in them. You spoke by the Holy Spirit through the mouth of your servant, our father David. Why do the nations rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth rise up and the rulers band together against the Lord and against his anointed one. Herod and Pontius Pilate met together with the Gentiles and the people of Israel in the city to conspire against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed. They did what your power and will had decided beforehand should happen. Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hand and heal and perform signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant Jesus. Now look at verse 31. What does it say there? And they prayed, and the place where they were meeting was shaken. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. Now, you and I know that God does unique things at unique times. Can God repeat things? Absolutely, if he wants to. I don't know if you've ever been a part of a prayer meeting that the place where you were at was shaken. It's okay if it happens. And right now, I don't know if prayer preceded this event or the event caused prayer to happen in Oklahoma. But I don't know if you've heard recently, but the great state of Oklahoma, especially around Oklahoma City, we're experiencing a lot of earthquakes. So again, I don't know if prayer caused the earthquakes to happen, or when the earthquake, the event happened, then their prayer taking place. Okay? But the place that what this was talking about, they prayed, God heard, and God moved at that time. See it? We just read it. So my encouragement to all of us is to practice scripture when it says pray without ceasing. Having an attitude of prayer. And what we want to do is taking our private prayer life and moving it in and encouraging our life Bible study groups to take on prayer. And we can experience Acts 4 as well. We got to trust and believe. Now, number one on your notes, it says the business we are in is spiritual business. Would you agree with that?
Yes, sir.
The business that we are in is spiritual business. We see that from the life of Jesus. We see it all throughout Scripture. And we must believe it's true because we are in that business of being spiritual. Number two, there's no telling, and I believe this with all my heart, what God can and will do when his people pray. There's no telling what God can and will do when his people pray. Do you believe that?
Yes.
Do you have any evidences of that? Any stories?
I guess I can give an example. I'm a 19-year survivor of stage 4 cancer. Mm-hmm. It's come back on me 9 times. I've undergone treatment 10 times. I just turned 79, and God restored my health. But I know it's not the power of prayer. It's the power of God's people praying.
Yes.
It's the power of prayer. The Muslims got all over us. They pray 5 times a day, right?
Yes.
So it's who you pray to, and it's the power of God's people praying.
Yes.
In faith. So I know I'm here because, number one, God's not ready for me to go, but it's because a lot of people are praying.
Yes.
And I have, God has given me a ministry to pray for cancer patients all over the world, really, in Hong Kong. And God's gracious.
Thank you for that testimony. And praise God for it.
I do.
There's a pastor in Oklahoma at First Southern Baptist Church in Del City.
I prayed for him. He came and lived in our Hope House here in Houston.
Really?
We got 3 houses.
Uh-huh.
And he came and lived in our Hope House. Our whole cancer support group ministries prayed for him.
And it didn't look good for him, his initial outlook or his initial diagnosis.
One in Frisco, Texas also.
Yeah. So Ken's testimony, what does that do for you? Does it encourage you?
Amen.
Gives you hope? Gives you confidence? Now, do we believe God's sovereign?
Yes.
Yes. Do you know what sovereignty means? In Forrest Gump language, God does what he pleases and he's pleased with what he does. And there's some other big theological things that can be said of sovereignty. But if we don't, the Bible says you have not because you ask not. Right? So, does Jesus want us to ask?
Yes.
Does God want us to call upon his name?
Absolutely.
He gives us examples in the scripture, right, of doing that. One story comes to mind. You remember the it's probably about 10 minutes till 11. This family's asleep. In the scripture, the story says, they're asleep. And the neighbor comes and what?
Knock
on his door. And he keeps knocking. Finally, he wakes the guy up. All right, what's the guy say? Leave me alone. Come back. What's the guy do? Keeps knocking. What does he want? He said family members or someone come. He needs help. He needs food. He needs some stuff. He kept knocking. The point is, keep asking. All right? Now, you know the way God answers prayer? He gives sometimes a yes, sometimes a no,
sometimes
a wait, and there's a fourth one. You got to be kidding. I'm teasing. That's not true.
I haven't heard that
one. You haven't heard that one? Well, that didn't come from me, even though that's on the tape. Scratch that.
Right? Mm-hmm.
All right, number 3. The setting here is your private prayer life and location. So we want to move your private prayer life to encourage your Life Bible Study members to get involved in prayer. Now, if you had Ken come along with his wife, Sarah, and give a testimony in your Life Bible Study group, do you think that would encourage people to pray? Absolutely. So you use the power of a testimony that I know that they want God to be glorified in that. You share those testimonies. Share a prayer testimony. And we'll walk through how we do that. So that's the setting. Now, here's some reminders. We see in Joshua. Let me get there real quick. You got your word. Look at Joshua. Here's some reminders. Do you remember in Scripture when God did amazing things, he would tell them to build what? To help them to remember.
Build like altars or rock piles or something.
Yes.
Spiritual
markers. Spiritual markers, exactly. Yes.
Stones. They'd stack stones.
Yes. Okay. Look what Joshua 4, verse 6 says. Verse 4 says, Joshua 4, 4. So Joshua called together the 12 men and had appointed them from the Israelites, one from each tribe, and said to them, go over before the ark of the Lord your God into the middle of the Jordan. Each of you is to take up a stone on his shoulder according to the number of the tribes of Israelites, to serve as a sign among you. In the future, when your children ask you, what do these stones mean? Tell them that the flow of the Jordan was cut off before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. When it crossed the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off. These stones are to be a memorial to the people of Israel forever. Verse 21 says, He said to the Israelites, in the future, when your descendants ask their parents, what do these stones mean? Tell them, Israel crossed the Jordan on dry ground. Now, why do you think God would have his children do that? What would be that purpose and for our purpose today?
Encouragement to the future generations.
Yes. Say that one more time, Miss Sarah.
Encouragement to the future generations.
Yes. And what was said over here?
A reminder of his faithfulness.
Yes. Now, I know I'm 55, and I know sometimes I forget things. That's why I have a principle. If it's not written down, it doesn't happen. So I write things down. Have you ever forgotten anything?
Can't remember.
Nice. Nice. God was telling us something here. It's a sign. It's a monument. It's a reminder. Spiritual markers, right? We need to do that. Because what happens is, when we forget to write things down, we forget how blessed we are. We forget that this was a difficult day in our life, and we didn't write down how God answered it, how God blessed us. We didn't write down the yes. We didn't write down the no. We didn't write down the wait. And so then the enemy comes in, and we get frustrated, don't we? And we say something like, where's God? God's not answering my prayers. God's not helping me. We need to write those markers down. Now look what Exodus chapter 12. What is said here? Someone have Exodus 12, 26. And then someone take Exodus 13, 4, I believe.
Still 12, 13.
Exodus 12, 26.
13, 14.
Uh-huh. Anybody want to read those? Here's Exodus 12, 26.
It says, when your children ask you, what does this ritual mean to you? You are to reply, it is the Passover sacrifice to the Lord, for he passed over the houses of the Israelites in Egypt when he struck the Egyptians and spared our homes. So the people bowed down and worshipped. Then the Israelites went and did this. They did just as the Lord had commanded Moses and Aaron.
Yes. Reminders, right? And what does Exodus 13, 14 say?
Is it still the same chapter? I think it's still chapter 12, isn't it? Verse 13 and 14?
No, I believe it's Exodus 13, 14. Let's see what that says.
And it shall be when my son asks thee. I'm sorry, it's in...
No, I think you had it right. I think you meant 13 and 14 and 12.
Mm-hmm. The blood will be a sign for you on the houses where you are.
Yes.
And when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. No destructive plague will touch you when I strike Egypt.
Mm-hmm.
This is a day you are to commemorate for the generations to come. You shall celebrate it as a festival to the Lord, a lasting ordinance.
Well, Exodus 13 and 14 also says, in the days to come, when your sons ask you, what does this mean? Say to him, with a mighty hand, the Lord brought us out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. So the point is, there's reminders, right? And my encouragement tonight is, we need those reminders. We need, so the next thing is journaling. We need to learn how to journal. Anybody good at journaling? Okay. Who was you pointing to there?
My wife.
Okay. Because she's too humble to say.
I'm not. Yeah, she's
yeah, I understand. Awesome. Talk about journaling. What does it do for you?
Didn't know I signed you up for that.
Yes, thanks.
So Sorry.
That's okay. I mean, I think like what you're talking about, at times I can go back and I can see things that I've prayed for, just how the Lord's been faithful. For me, it also helps me, you know, to not be distracted. I think when, sometimes when we sit down and pray, there's so much going on. Even if we're in a quiet home and we're in mm-hmm. the right spot with the right things, it helps me actually kind of solidify those prayers and praises to God.
Yes, it's good. Awesome. Yes.
I met with a staff wife that I'm assigned to intercede for last mm-hmm. week. Mm-hmm. And we went over the journal of her requests for the past year.
Yes.
Month by month. And it was astounding. Mm-hmm. There are only, I think, three things that are still unanswered.
Praise
she
the Lord.
She went home floating.
Yes.
After she looked back at what God has done in a year's time.
Yes. I think one of the purposes of journaling is it helps keep us grounded and focused on what God has done in the past and what God can do in the future. He told the children, he told his people, journal. He told them to do reminders. Look what God did. Be encouraged by that. All right, so here's some number four, practical applications of how we should do journaling. And if you've had some other things, this is pretty generic here. To write down the date of the request. All right? Write down the date. Write down the date of it answered. And then thirdly, how did God answer that? So you have the date, and you have the request, and you have the date that it was answered, and how God answered that. Pretty simple, right? Mm-hmm. Seems simple. But what is it going to take? Effort, right? It's going to take effort. So how do you move your private prayer life to encourage your life Bible study groups? You share testimonies, okay? You have that young lady go to your life Bible study group and say, hey, look, let me share about journaling. And you can do that with your life Bible study group. And encourage your people to journal while they pray. It's awesome about what God does when we're reminded about how He's answered our prayers. Now, let me give you number five. Why journal? It gives us reason to reflect. The first line there gives us reason to reflect. What are we reflecting upon?
God.
Absolutely. And what God did.
His characteristics.
Yes. Yep. Reflect. Look back. When people ask, how did you come through that? Give a testimony. Say, let me take you to my prayer journal. Let me throw this in. I'm assuming some of you, if not all of you, maybe seen the movie War Room. Mm-hmm. Wow. Isn't that awesome? Can you say that backwards? Wow. That's pretty cool, isn't it? I'm proud to say that my youth minister growing up in Yukon, Oklahoma, which is a town just west of Oklahoma City, was a guy named by the name of Michael Catt. Michael was my youth pastor for about 2 years. And then God called him there to do some other youth ministry events and then eventually called him to pastor. And Michael pastored Sherwood Baptist Church in Albany, Georgia. And Michael, that church is where we have gotten those Christian films, Facing the Giants. What are the others?
Fireproof.
Yeah. And War Room.
Courageous,
yes. And so I'm proud that God's using him. But when I saw War Room, wow, that encouraged me even more. Mm-hmm. So if you haven't maybe done an event and encouraged seeing War Room, get your people together. Encourage you to pray for one another, okay? So what journaling does, it helps us to reflect. Number two, it gives us reason to rejoice. Gives us reason to rejoice. Reason to celebrate, right? If we as Christians aren't happy, It's like gloom and despair and agony on me. Some hee-haw show, I think, used to say that. Remember those days? Hey, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. It gives us reason to rejoice. We need to be about rejoicing. And so that gives you reason when people say, hey, why are you so happy? What's going on? It gives you reason to give a testimony about what God has done. Do you think that might not encourage them to get in on what God's doing in your life, to share with them about how they can know Christ? And the next one, give us reasons to respond. Respond. Give God praise. Give God glory. And then also, it gives us a response to respond to the devil. Okay? We have power over him. I love, you write this verse down. This is one of the verses I memorized when I was 16 years old. James 4:7. You need to put that in your arsenal. Put that bullet in your gun. It says, submit therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Okay? You see the line of the progress? Submit therefore to God. Come under God's authority. Come under God's submission. Resist the devil. Speak to him. And he'll flee from you. The book that I discovered that in when I was 16 years old was a book that I don't guess I'll ever forget. It's called Dealing with the Devil by C.S. Lovett. I don't know if I could ever find that book again. I went through that with a couple guys and one of my Sunday school teacher. And that book was probably less than 100 pages. And you know what? When we went through that, there were weeks that I would show up and all of us would show up. We couldn't find our book. We couldn't find it. I put it right where I knew I put it, and I would come back. No kidding, as a 16-year-old kid, I think, man, this devil's real. Mm-hmm. Misplaced the book, no telling who how it happened. And we would go weeks. One of us, we couldn't find our book. And we thought, man, this spiritual warfare is real stuff. And then we took on how to understand what the armor of God meant, what it would do for us, and how we could be protected spiritually. So it gives us reason to respond to God and to the devil. Now, number 6, your Life Bible Study Group. Here's how I want to encourage us to take our private prayer life and move it into our Life Bible Study Group. So I'm assuming you're here. What is your role? Is there a specific role that you do in LBS that has something to do with prayer? Y'all have prayer groups or prayer leaders within a Life Bible Study Group?
Yes.
We do prayer lists.
Okay, a prayer list. Okay.
Well, we have in ours, it's the Heart of the One for Women in the morning, mm-hmm. and we meet early. There's a group of us that meet early, and we pray for all the needs of our class.
Yes.
And then we set up.
Yes.
And then the class comes in. And then we do the pass around the sheet, and everyone puts their prayer request, and then mm-hmm. we actually get it on our phones.
Okay.
However,
good.
And so you can pray those first.
Okay. All right. My encouragement, whatever this looks like, is you get this in front of your people, your small group Bible study, your Life Bible Study Group (LBS). Okay. Mm-hmm. And just some simple things: take prayer requests, write them down. Take him to the throne. Hebrews 4:14 and through 16 is a great passage of scripture. Last year when I was here, you guys are creative. You know how to do this. There's a lot of things that go on Sunday mornings, but sometimes prayer is the one that gets pushed to the back burner. You notice that? So we have to be intentional. So what I did, I developed a prayer card, and you write people, they put their name, put their request, and so you're we don't want it to be important, but you give that prayer card out, your prayer request card, and people can write it down themselves, turn it into you as a prayer leader. That person takes it all, and it says on there, is this okay to be public, or do you want this to be a private request? If it's public, throw it out there. They understand it's going on the email list, or we're going to share this so other people know how to pray, and you date it. And so you don't have to pass around a sheet. You can do that. Whatever works. Get prayer requests down and begin helping your prayer team to pray. That's the main thing, right? Take it to the throne. Let me read Hebrews. This is awesome. Hebrews 4. Let me read this to you. I pray this prayer, this passage of scripture, a lot of times when I'm at a hospital, and this is awesome that you can add to your prayer time as well. Hebrews 4, 14 through 16 says this. He says, therefore, since we have a great high priest who has ascended into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he did not sin. Now, verse 16, let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence. Some translation says with boldness, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in our time of need. Folks, there's times as prayer requests come in, they're in that time of need. And prayer and God's power and God's Holy Spirit can help them do that. So I pray verse 16 a lot. God, we thank you we can approach your throne of grace with confidence and boldness, that we can receive mercy and find grace to help in our time of need. Now, number 7, I want to encourage you to be intentional about prayer. Be intentional. Go on and write down, make it a priority. Make it a priority. You heard the old saying, if you aim at nothing, you'll hit it. Okay? If we aren't intentional about prayer, we probably aren't going to pray much. Regardless of what government does with prayer, take it out of schools, can't do this, can't do that. You know, one of my hobbies is I'm a high school basketball official. So you can pray for me a lot, okay? But I do a lot of small schools in Oklahoma. I mean, we're talking Class B, and that's just not very many students. But the cool thing is, I'll get there, and my partner will be with me, and they'll meet in the center court, and they'll pray. They'll pray. I've had people get on a microphone, had kids pray. I've had both teams get out there in center court and pray. It's awesome. It's encouraging. There's a school that I called for last week. It's called Dover High School, real small town. Their high school burned down to the ground. So they're without a gym. So all their remaining basketball games, if they were home, they're on the road. So they happen to play a team called Oklahoma Christian Academy. It's a Church of Christ school affiliation. So we went to that school near my home in Edmond, and it was so honoring. You could tell God was all over that place. They encourage these kids. And I've had Dover before. Dover girls and Dover boys, they don't have a lot of talent. They're out there for the love of the game. And you know what this OCA team did for Dover girls when they introduced them? Their entire student body went over there and developed and created a line. So when their girls were introduced, they all went by and gave them 5. I thought, wow, this is cool. And then a student prayed. And ask God's blessings and ask God to help them as they go through this transition. And I also know a week before their high school burned down, a 16-year-old kid boy committed suicide. So they really had it tough. But it was encouraging that people pray. Now, it's interesting that we want to take prayer out and take God out. What do you know happens when tragedy comes? What do people do? They're praying, aren't they? You think people prayed on the planes that were hijacked?
Yes.
Okay. Desperate people do desperate things. And we need to be about praying. Be intentional. Okay? Make it a priority. Few things there. Develop a prayer team. Have someone that's like-minded, that loves prayer. Ecclesiastes says, 2 are better than 1. For if one falls down, you have another one pick you up. A cord of three strands is not easily broken. So develop a team. You could, you know, you've heard this acrostic, T-E-A-M. Together, everyone achieves more, or together, everyone accomplishes more. When you have a team of people that you're like-minded, like-hearted, loves to pray, you have a prayer band. I love the fact that you have a prayer room underneath, right? Yeah. Your worship center, you're praying, you have people praying. That's what happens in Brooklyn Tab.
People got one right down the hallway here too.
Yep.
On the right.
Yes. So develop a team of people, because what happens, and I talked about this earlier, when you build a fire, you have these, you know, you come together, and you put fire together, and you put it up like a teepee. And then what happens when one ember falls out? It loses its flame, right? It loses its robust, because it stopped being connected. So what happens is, when you're praying and you feel like you're the only one praying in your class, you start getting the woe is me. I can't believe these other people aren't praying. They don't have the same passion I do. Satan has isolated you. You need a team of people. And you need gals with gals, guys with guys, calling at one another, not doing the Baptist gossip prayer line. Okay? Honestly seeking God's face and asking God to intervene. Prayer team. You also need to develop a way to collect requests, which we've talked about briefly, and then keeping the class informed with updates. Keeping the class informed with updates. Now, thoughts.
I would like to see our class, now that, you know, I'm seeing, hearing what you said, the testimony part. We don't have enough of that in our class even. No, we need to for the mm-hmm. people. I mean, I have a ritual. I hate to say it's a ritual, but it is, because I have a lot of prayer needs just because of my whole situation. And so I model my prayers after King Hezekiah, mm-hmm. because he had a formula of, well, he didn't know he had a formula, but I use it as a formula, mm-hmm. because I realize that sometimes there's so many things. So I make, the first time around I was told, go get all the documents and lay them out. That's what he did. He pulled out the scrolls and he read what the mm-hmm. opposing army was going to do, and he goes, God, I can't handle this, you know. Mm-hmm. So what do I do? So I do it in a different way now. I make my index cards and I say, okay, I've got this situation, and that, and then I can actually see when they're done.
Yes.
And then I keep praying for them because I want them to get even better. So but the testimonies, you know, those are the things I don't really talk about, because mm-hmm. those are like my personal mm-hmm. things. But I think it's a good idea.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
I think I should. I've told people some
yes.
things, but it's not, you know, I'm
yes.
the only one telling it. So
right.
I want
yeah.
it to be somebody else.
Yes. Power the testimony.
Mm-hmm. I think that would be really good. Are you going to pray for that guy's cancer? When you said that, I thought immediately we should pray for that guy.
Yeah.
Chase.
Yes.
There is that verse, but the word of their testimonies, they will be saved. What do you say? You know that verse?
Revelation.
Yeah, Revelation. But the word of their testimonies,
yes.
that's just coming to my mind.
But
what
yes.
else? 12:11. What does it say?
They triumphed over him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony.
Yes.
Triumph over Satan.
And it's also the not only the testimony, the power of the story. Okay? Tell people's story, or let them tell their story. It's an encouragement.
It is.
It really is. We need to do it.
It's interesting. Our pastor was invited to come to Des Moines last night as a guest to Ted Cruz, who happens to be a member of First Baptist Church. And this morning on Ted Cruz's Facebook has a picture of he and his family, including his dad, Raphael, meeting with Pastor Greg, praying for him.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, well, I got to share this one and some comments. This is what America needs. This is
yes.
what a man we need. And only God can fix the problems that face America today. Man cannot fix the problems we
mm-hmm.
have. It's just too great.
Yes.
I hope it goes viral. And
mm-hmm.
hope a lot of people share it. He takes a lot of heat because of his Christian witness and
mm-hmm.
and he lives it, and so I encourage you to pray for our church member,
yes.
Ted Cruz, and his wife Heidi, for their safety.
Yes.
Yeah.
Good word. All right, let me end on one story. And this is a story that I heard through a sermon. It was preached by a guy that's in heaven now, and his name is E.V. Hill. Anyone ever heard of E.V. Hill? At one time, he was recognized probably the most powerful, influential preachers in America. And he was preaching on prayer. And this is years ago. This has stuck with me. So I want to encourage you with this story. He recalls a journey that he was taken because he was invited to another town to preach. And he had a church member that owned a plane, was a pilot, and he said, "I'll take you, Pastor Hill." So he gets in the plane with the pilot, and it's a small plane. Now, if you know E.V. Hill, he was a large man, okay? And so he said, "I was a little worried that the plane wasn't going to be big enough to pick us up." But here's the story. He said he gets in there with a pilot, and the pilot, before he does anything, the pilot says, "Okay, this is we'll say Cessna 777. That's a good number, right? That's God's number, right? So I'm just making that number. But hey, this is 777 requesting to move." And the tower says, 777, you're able to move. Proceed." And so they proceed. And then the pilot goes, 777 is requesting, "Can I get on this particular runway to get to where I need to go? Hold right there." And he held right there. Do you know what was coming? A big old plane. Okay? So he waits for the big plane. From the tower, 777, you can proceed. Head this way, down runway, whatever. And so he goes on down. He gets ready. He gets to the, and you've kind of been on planes. You know what they're doing. They get, go ahead and turn, and hold right there. And then here comes two planes coming into land. 777, proceed. You're ready and clear for takeoff. He takes off. 777 is in the air. Yes, climb to this altitude. He climbs this altitude. The point is, the pilot stayed in touch with the man in the tower. And only the way E.V. Hill can say that is, you and I have got to stay in touch with the man in the tower, which is God. And his point is, you get up in the morning, tower, this is Randy Davis, ready to get out of bed. Proceed. And then you go and do what I do. I go get my chocolate milk ready. Okay? I love chocolate milk. So, God, this is Randy. Heading to shave. Okay, go shave. God, this is Randy. Thank you for my breakfast. Thank you for my food. God, this is Randy. Thank you for your word. Reporting in, God. Man, this is good stuff, God. I know, I wrote it.
I wish I would have heard that story earlier. I'm sorry.
Good.
I just wanted to share that today, you know, you always, well, we're used to being taught to pray to bless our food.
Yes.
Something that would, you know, we do it from the heart. And today, I'm a teacher. Some coworkers asked me, "Do you always pray before you eat?" I'm like, "And why?" And I was like, "Yes, I mean, yes, you gotta be grateful to the Father. You know, I say thank you to my Father. Thank you that He blesses me for this food. Sometimes you don't know when you're never gonna have this. There are some people that don't have any food. And gotta be grateful for things. You always have to be, and you have to say thank you. Be connected with the Father." But I don't know, they're men and they're cool, you know. I wish I would have said something. And I know the Lord speaks, but it's always good to know those stories so you can always relate them to people, you know. So because sometimes they don't understand, why do you always have to pray? Why do you do that? So that was good. I'm glad that you share that story.
Yes.
I want to tell you another one to encourage everybody to pray before a meal at a restaurant.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay, a couple that were out of town. And they had a gift card, a sizable gift card, and they were at a very nice restaurant, and they took it for a date night. And so they prayed before they ate, and they're sharing, they're just sort of just sharing with each other, and the love is showing.
Mm-hmm.
And so the waiter comes up and he says, your meal has been comped. And they said, what? Because they were expecting to use their gift card, you know?
Yes.
He said, your meal has been comped by that couple over there.
Mm-hmm.
So the husband gets up and he goes over to say thank you. And so the wife follows. And he said, well, we could tell that you're very much in love and we noticed that you prayed before your meal.
Mm-hmm.
And the lady said, and it just gave my heart a warm feeling.
Yes.
They're not believers.
Mm-hmm.
And as they talked, they live in Indiana. And so this couple said, we are members of First Baptist Church Houston. If you're ever in Houston, please come by. And they have a house in Scottsdale and they live in Indiana. Obviously they have money. And unbelievers, but her heart was touched.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And she said, we will come to Houston someday to meet you.
Nice. Yep.
I want to hear a great testimony. Ed Hendy, who's speaking tonight at our group, he and his mm-hmm. wife own Taste of Texas. And he has a YouTube out about a tremendous testimony of him crashing a plane in the fog and how miraculous, several miraculous things God did.
Mm-hmm.
But if you want to be blessed, go look up Ed Hendy on YouTube and mm-hmm. listen to his, at Christmas Day, he shared that at Second Baptist Church. That was their sermon. I listened to it on radio.
Mm-hmm.
And I tell you, it was blown away.
Yep.
It's just unbelievable.
Yep. Listen, we all have a story, okay? But my encouragement, as we move from here, is stay in touch with the town. And I promise you, when I get up in the morning and report in, and when I get on my plane, I'm praying, God, pick this plane up, and then get us safely through the air and set us down in Oklahoma City. Pray without ceasing. Okay? All right. Father, we love you. We bless you. We praise you. We glorify you. We thank you that we can call on you 24/7. 365 days, you're never busy, you never put us on hold. I pray, Father, that you'll help us to create an opportunity out of our Life Bible study groups to take our private prayer encouragement to our groups and encourage them to get in on this prayer and to talk to you. And help us, Father, to remain in touch with you in the tower, because you see everything. You know what's before us. You know what's behind us. We thank you for the angels that you station here about us. We thank you, Father, for your protection. We thank you for your guidance. And thank you, Father, for loving us and hearing us. Thank you for these people, Father, these wonderful servants of you. Bless them, Father, in their ministry of prayer and their encouragement to others. And I pray this in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.
All right. Gregory Frizzell still in Oklahoma City?
Who?
Gregory Frizzell.
Yes, he's at the convention working there. Absolutely.
He spent a couple of nights in our house.
Yeah. It's awesome. All right, I've got a gift card that needs to be given, and I'm going to give it to this young lady right there. Yes. Be encouraged. All right, blessings.
Thank you.
Get on down to the gym now. They have some bad cinnamon rolls out here.
If you see my friend Mr. Cloud, you can go ahead and cut him.
Yeah, I think we all have.
Earned it, passed away.
I should have skipped dinner, maybe.
But you know what? He was like,